Hi guys, welcome back for episode 17. So last week we explored why silence isn't neutral, especially for B2B brands. We talked about speaking up in meaningful moments to build brand relevance and trust. And this week we're going to be focusing on another kind of silence, when your website isn't converting and nobody's telling you why.
All right, so there's a few things that quietly kills your growth. And mostly this is actually to do with your website, which really should be seen as, you know, your number one salesperson that essentially works for you 24/7. Now, most of the B2B websites that I've seen, like probably in the past 23 years that I've been in business building B2B websites and e-commerce sites and things like that, is most of them are built for with aesthetics in mind, you know, how it actually looks. I mean, design's obviously subjective, but, you know, what generally happens is a lot of businesses don't really understand what makes up a website. So they assume that, you know, what it needs to do is it needs to look good. And that's far from the truth. What it needs to do is it needs to allow the prospect to understand who you are, what your value proposition is, and take
what
action.
What you can do for them.
And what you can do for them. Now, the website could be driving traffic, but does it really drive the pipeline? Most of them actually don't. I mean, to be honest, I mean, even like when I look back at, and this is probably most of the clients that we work with, most of the websites aren't even, the content themselves isn't even aimed at their buyer persona.
Before they work with us,
yeah. So there is obviously a process when you're going to build a website, you know. But apparently 70% of B2B buyers fully define their needs before speaking to a rep. So if the website isn't guiding people that land on your website to convert, to take that next step, then it's likely killing your growth. And it's likely no driving the revenue that you hoped it would drive when you first went out to build that website. And that's a shame, you know, because your website should be a top performing salesperson. It should not just be a digital brochure. No one's interested in brochures. People want to know what you can do for them as soon as they land on your website.
Yeah. There's a few different signs as to why your website isn't working. So there's high bounce rate. So if people are just landing on your page and not even spending time there and leaving straight away.
The thing is, that's pretty much the majority of them. You know, I've seen bounce rates up at like 80 and 90%. So that means that what's happening is the prospects or the traffic is landing on the website, and it's likely that they believe that they're not going to have the problem solved there.
Or your website's taking 10 years to load in. And by the time it loads in, they're already like, nah.
Yeah, that's correct. And that's why Google say that it should really load in less than two seconds. And two seconds doesn't sound very long, but as when you're waiting for something to load.
Yeah.
You know?
You've got low time on a page. So if somebody's not spending time reading your content or, you know, going to the depth of that page, that shows that your content's probably pretty crap or it's not solving their problem.
That's right. So in terms of the time on your page, that's kind of relates to the scroll depth. The time on the page is generally related to the bounce rate, right? Because if someone's not staying on the page, then obviously the time on the page is going to be low. But another thing that needs to be considered is the scroll depth, which you just started to talk about there. So if, you know, your hero section, the back, the very top, above the fold, is probably the most important thing that will basically tell the prospect when they land on a website what you're all about and how you can help them. And that's what it should be, your value proposition. Here's who we help. This is what we can do for you. Now, generally, if people land there and they don't feel that you are going to be able to help them, they'll bounce, right? And the chances are they're not going to scroll the rest of that page to find out and learn more and then take action on that, which will obviously ultimately lead to poor conversion rates.
Yeah. Yeah. You've also got things like confusing navigation. I've been on some websites and they've got 10 million different drop downs in their menus, or their menu just doesn't sit right, and you're spending about, you know, 5 minutes trying to find that page, and it's just, it makes your experience on the website poor, and it makes you annoyed, you know, being on that website and trying to navigate it. And you don't want your customers or your, you know, potential clients to be confused or angry on your website.
Well, that's right. And the thing is, your navigation needs to lead to the, you know, it needs to be built so that it's covering the full buyer's journey. So when someone lands on your website, you know, your navigation should be really clear on where those people fall in within that. Mm. You know, if someone knows they've got a problem and they land on your website, they see your value proposition, they see your navigation, they see a button that says demo now. You know, if they're ready to demo now, then they'll click the button. Most often than not, that's not the case, though. You know, and that's where the navigation can become an issue.
Mm. And then you've got generic messaging. So if you're just out here, you know, trying to do it for everybody and keep it very, you know, trying to service every man and their dog, that's not going to work. And it's not speaking to your ICP. And if you don't know who your ICP is, then you will probably have generic messaging on your website.
Correct, yeah. So ICP is ideal customer profile, or when we were doing outbound, it would be your buyer persona, the people, your ideal customer, those people that are going to buy your products.
Yeah.
So it needs to obviously speak their language. It needs to, you know, speak about their pain points. There's a lot of information in there. We'll talk about the messaging and things like that afterwards. But certainly another issue is CTAs or call to actions, as we might say, are buried within the content and you can't quite see it because they're not, you know, they're not prominent enough. They don't differentiate themselves in terms of button colours and all this kind of stuff from the actual content around about it and things. And that can cause problems as well.
Mm. And another problem is when you have no clear journey, you know, down your homepage. Your homepage should pretty much be a catch-all page. You know, what do you do? Who's it for and why does it matter? Have some testimonials on there for social proof. If there's no clear journey, then people are just going to go be confused and then probably just bounce or not even spend time on your website.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And of course, you don't need to have a lead gen form or anything on the homepage or on any page, really, even though it's probably deemed as being best practice. But you can funnel people to a specific form, which shows that they've obviously taken action. And that means that when you're viewing analytics within some of the analytic programs like Google and things like that, you can actually see what route they took or what route they took to get to the lead gen form as well, you know. So in other words, I went from the home page to the service page to the landing page to fill in the form and then convert. And that's good data.
Yeah. Another huge sign that you're not, that your website isn't working, is you're getting a lot of traffic, but you're not getting any leads.
And this is most businesses, by the way. If they're getting high quality traffic at all, right? Because generally most don't. But if they're getting high quality traffic and they're not getting any leads, then that's a clear indication that there's something wrong. And this is why your website never finishes. It's never completed, right? Because you need to be testing these things. You need to be A-B testing, multivariate testing. You need to be changing button colours and content and everything like that. So if you've got a lot of traffic, say, you know, you've got maybe 5,000 visits a month and you're converting maybe one lead for that, there's a problem somewhere. So that all needs to be analysed and resolved and tested, really.
Yeah. And a huge part to, you know, your website is your messaging that you're conveying to your ideal customers. And you, as I just mentioned earlier, you need to know, you know, what you do, who is it for and why does it matter? I think a lot of businesses think about themselves when they create content and when they create their websites as well. They speak about, oh, our product does this, our service does this, it does this, it does this, it does that. They talk about all the features and don't speak to the customer and, you know, their pain points. So, you know, you need to be talking in your customer's language and talking to them. Understand, you know, what their pain is. Understand what they're going through that, you know, your services can provide a solution to.
That's right. And Donald Miller actually wrote the book Story Brand. And what that talks about is you need to remove the we language and replace it with you. So that what you're doing is you become the guide to the customer and you're guiding them through the buying process, and then they become the hero of, you know, once they get out of the side, story. I feel like. Yeah. And the thing is, you need to make sure that you position your brand clearly so that people can differentiate you fast, because users skim, they don't study, they just look for things that, you know, pops into their mind where it resonates with them. And this is why it's important to make sure that before you even get to doing your website, you've already got your vision, mission and core values set out. You've done your brand positioning. You've done your buyer persona or ICP development, so you know who you're going to be speaking to. And that's hugely important before you get to the messaging part. And then it's the message development.
And brand guidelines as well.
That's correct, yeah. So, and the thing about above the bold clarity, I mean, that's talking about your value proposition, you know, what you do, who it is for, and why that kind of matters. And that is really important. And, you know, you won't really understand how important that is until you're not getting any leads in. And then we come in, like we do with all our customers, change things up, and then boom, you're generating 40 to 60 leads a month, depending on who you are and your industry and things like that as well, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, that takes us to you're talking about brand guidelines there, Chloe. That takes us to the user experience and structure and guiding the customer through that buyer journey, you know, where you need to have that clear navigation with minimal friction. You know, you need to make it easy for people to buy from you.
Yeah.
You need to have logical page hierarchy, such as the homepage, problem, solution, proof, action, et cetera, which basically takes the customer, you know, brings them in. They understand that you can help them. They see that you understand the problem. You then say, well, this is a solution you're looking for. Here's the proof of other people that have went through this same program, if you like. And then here's how you take action to make it work for you.
Yeah.
And a big part of user experience is mobile responsiveness and page speed that matter a hell of a lot more than what people think. I mean, Google say that your website should be loading in under 2 seconds. Now, generally, our websites load in under half a second. It needs to be like that. It needs to be instantaneous. Yeah. And there's been times when we've been testing our site and, you know, you go from one page to another and you don't actually realise, it's that fast that you don't even realise that the page has changed.
It's changed, yeah.
Which is great, because that means you get that's the kind of responsiveness that Google likes, and Google will reward you for having a site like that. I mean, obviously, content, in my personal opinion, is still king, but technical aspects are absolutely massive.
Yeah. And I think the technical side of stuff as well has a huge impact on your SEO. You see a lot of our clients who have come from their old sites on, say, WordPress or maybe Squarespace, and then, they're sitting pretty averagely on their SEO. And then when they come over, you know, their SEOs are sitting at first. And while that's also a huge, attribute to our SEO services, I think the technical side and the software that they use is huge for being up there as well. You know, you've got a lot of different behind the scenes stuff that some of these other open source softwares don't have, like Schema Markup, all these other different things.
That's right. And that's exactly why we built our own platform for not just our growth. I mean, it was solve the problem for us, but it also solves that same problem for our customers. Yeah. You know yourself, Chloe, how easy it is for us to get things up and running a lot quicker than what we used to be able to do. We're not cobbling things together from many different developers, and it's, it's causing other problems in other areas and this kind of stuff. We our platform bloody works, and we're continuing to build on that. And a part of that is really the design as well, where you need to make sure that you design with empathy and anticipate questions and eliminate barriers that people might have. And that includes, like, when you're talking about schema markup there, we always put facts, frequently asked questions, pretty much on every single page that we've got related to the products and services that us and our clients offer. Now, those little fact modules have schema markup and things like that as well. So that all helps the search engines, including AI nowadays, understand who you are, what you offer, and how you can help people. So when someone's in AI, for instance, like ChatGPT, and they're looking for a growth agency in Brisbane, you're the one that's getting recommended by ChatGPT.
Yeah. Now, when we go on to the call to actions, just putting contact us isn't enough. You need to use multiple different call to action formats. And even like you said earlier, A/B test those as well. So test call to actions like book a demo, download the guide, see it in action. I think we have get a discovery call,
Get a quote.
Get a quote. Yeah. Get a free quote as well. When people see free, they're like, oh, They don't have to give anything in return. And place call to actions throughout all of your different content sections that you have on your website, not just at the end. Because, as we mentioned earlier with your page depth, if somebody is only going to a certain point, you want to catch them before they, bounce off. And if they're not going to get to that, that end call to action. Catch them as early as possible.
Absolutely. One of the things I did, Chloe, for our system, which is active on our website, is when you're placing call to actions throughout your content, what happens is you just need to add a little class to like this div. And what happens is it takes that div. So when the user scrolls down the page, it actually brings out the call to action as if it's coming out from the page.
As if it enlarges,
And it puts an overlay around it so that it kind of is in your customer's face. And as they continue to scroll, it kind of just then fades back into the page. So things like that are actually really good as well, because they help emphasize the call to action. And, and if someone's ready to take action at that point, they might click it.
Yeah. Now, one thing I must say is doing blogs is a must on your website. You need to be answering questions.
Well, you need to be answering the questions that the customers are asking. So if a customer's looking for pricing, for instance, for their next car, they want to see that pricing on the page. So you should have a pricing page. If for instance, you were a pool installer, as an example, you would have a free tool on there, like to estimate what the cost might be. The bottom line is, when people are going to buy a product or service, the first thing they want to know is, can I afford this? Mm-hmm. Right? So by putting these free tools and things on your website, they're actually helping them make a decision. And if they believe that the estimate you provide is within that, and you've already nurtured them through the insights and the blogs, and they've done some quizzes, or they've learned more about the process and things like that, then your business is going to be the one that choose. And you need to make it easy for people to make those micro conversions on these different tools and quizzes and insights and things like that,
Yeah.
And getting back to gated content, by the way, gated content came about, but I think back in 2005 onwards, when HubSpot, created this word, this buzzword called inbound marketing and sales and things. And basically the premise is there that you create a document, like a PDF and things like that, which is a gated piece of content. So in order for you to get the content which you want them to get anyway, is they need to give you an email address and, sometimes a phone number and things like that in order to exchange data. those days are gone now, man, right? People need to start thinking a bit more, be a bit more visionary with their content. If there's content in a PDF that you want someone to get, create a website or a guide or whatever from that PDF on your website, just like a blog article, and get it on your website. Get it indexed for SEO and things like that. It'll probably drive more conversions and revenue in the long time than trying to get somebody to give you their email for you to bombard them with spam, which nobody wants, by the way. That was the whole point of inbound as well.
And as I mentioned, blogs are so incredibly important. You know, you want to be answering people's questions, creating blogs on different things that, you know, people might not necessarily know or know to ask. And it'll position you as a leader on, you know, Google, Bing, all the search.
No, it's not just the search platforms. It's about positioning them as the expert in their industry. So that, you know, when someone needs a pool installer, you know, as pool professionals, Mackay, as an example, right, that people are going to phone. And what will happen is, you know, because they're the ones that's got this content on there, the prospect has found their website and they've given them the answers to what the prospects are looking for. And then they start going through some of these tools and seeing the previous work and they're seeing videos and all this kind of stuff. It all adds to building that relationship before they even get in touch. And the thing is, as soon as the prospect does get in touch, the sale's already done. You just need to secure the contract and you're done. And that's the whole point of doing all these videos and blogs and, you know, building these tools. Yes, it costs money to get it done to begin with. But you don't do things to waste money. You write blogs because that's the content that people or the answers that people are searching for. And that's how you will essentially educate them. They'll feel great that you've educated them. They feel great and the hero of their own story because they now feel educated and understand processes and things. And they're going to pick up the phone or, you know, submit their information for a quote or get in touch. The sale's halfway done. Do you know what I mean? Yep.
And it helps to increase your branded search as well. Because I remember when we worked with the solar company, we were ranking for things like, you know, Solar Mackay, Mackay Solar. And then it ended up that they were actually getting branded searches. So people were searching for their brand name more than they were searching for, you know, Mackay Solar or Solar Mackay.
Correct.
And while that takes time, it took about, you know, 6 months of consistent SEO and blogs and posting everywhere. It definitely paid off in the long run. And that's the thing with SEO and growing your business as well, is it takes a long time. It's not just something that, you know, you post your website and overnight you're just a success. That's not going to happen.
The thing is, it doesn't matter how nice and amazing your website is, how conversion optimized it is. If there's nobody getting to the website, you're not generating leads. That's the bottom line. But the thing is, your website is a tool, but there's different types of tools. You've got, you know, not all tools are made the same, right? You could have two tools that look the same, like, I don't know, like a screwdriver. And one might be a flathead, another one might be a Phillips, right? They're two different beasts that serve two different things. So you need to make sure that you are driving traffic, that SEO does work. We know it works. We've seen it even ourselves. You know, and usually the six-month mark, as you say, is although you still start making traction from day one, it's at the six-month part that Google seems to see as being an expert in your field because you're continuing to push content, good quality content, and then it just skyrockets. And you've seen that yourself, Chloe, because I've showed you the data, right? And that same happened with the solar company we're working with. The same will happen with Pool Professionals Mackay, and guaranteed.
Now, we've got some real-world examples. So there was a B2B SaaS site before and after. They three times their lead generation by rewriting the homepage and simplifying their navigation. There was a service-based business that added a scroll-based call to action, and they saw demo bookings double. And there was an A-B test that results from tweaking a headline and button copy that led to 42% more conversions. So I think this truly just shows that, you know, once your website goes up, that's not it. That is not it done. Walk away. It continually needs testing, changed, updated. You know, your business is always innovating and changing as well. So it always needs to be getting better.
Yeah, 100%. And really, if you look at the solar company, if you look at the solar company we were working with, you know, they were doing 1.6 mil when we first started with them. It took us 12 weeks to get, it was roughly about 12 weeks to get the website ready, because really their last web, it needed a complete rebuild. Everything needed done. So we did do quite a lot in that time. But 9 months after launching the website, you know, they were up at 3 million. Now, I've got absolutely no qualms to say that they would have went to at least 3.6, you know. So that's driving an extra 2 million in revenue in that space of time. And I know, well, we both know that, you know, they moved premises, they got more staff in, et cetera, et cetera. So it does work, this stuff, but it's a process and people need to continue, they need to trust the process and follow on with it. And going back to this whole thing about, you know, it's not, your website's not launched and then done. Of course it's not. And it's the same. It does take, everything does take time. It's like going to the gym, right? What happens in January is you get an influx of people going to the gym in January. They didn't see any progress in February, so they sack it, right? And then they wonder why, you know, they're still overweight or underweight or whatever it is, you know, a year later or 6 months later. It didn't work because people didn't have the commitment to do it. If you truly want to grow in any industry, you need to commit to the growth. You need to commit to the changes. You need to commit to listening to experts that know what they're doing. You need to commit to the rebuilds. You need to commit to the customers, and you will see that growth.
Yeah, and the money you're investing in all of this marketing is an investment. It's not something you're spending and you're going, oh crap, just spent $6,000 there. But then you're not seeing that you're, you know, you're generating an extra $50,000, you know, by doing this.
Well, to be fair, that solar company only spent about 160k with us over the 12-month period, and you know, we drove an extra 1.3 mil on 1.4 mil on top of what they were doing. So, you know, that's a decent return.
Yeah.
In anybody's book, you know.
Yeah. So I have some actionable takeaways for you guys to do this week. I want you to run a website audit and understand, is it clear, is it useful, and is it persuasive within the first 5 seconds? Have a look at implementing some heat maps and recordings like Hotjar to see where your users are actually dropping off. Rewrite your homepage headline and call to action based on what customers care about most. And start small and just improve one page at a time with purpose and data. So next week, we'll be talking about the impressions, likes, and followers, how they may look good on a dashboard, but do they actually move the needle? We'll be talking about vanity to value and B2B metrics that actually matter.
Awesome.
Awesome. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, that's it. Until the next time.
Awesome. See you on episode 18. Thanks, guys.
Bye.